All right, how y'all doing? Pretty good, good, good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? All right, everybody, really? That was amazingly depressing. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? I mean, you know, if you didn't, you didn't. I understand, but, you know, we'll pray for you. It was a great, great Thanksgiving. In fact, but I do have to say, y'all, that some of you are still obsessing. You're really struggling with the leftovers, all right? And as your pastor, I've got to tell you, you're just going to have to quit cold turkey. Sorry, I can't promise it's not going to get worse from there, okay? Today we're talking about humility, and honestly, that is pretty, you know, just humbling that I would say something like that. But y'all like Thanksgiving pie? Anybody? I mean, y'all pie people or cake people? Like, if you had to choose one, all right, I love you. Yes, pie. My mother-in-law, Sheila, makes the best chocolate pie. Man, I tell you what, it was like the first thing that I was like, please save me a piece of that pie. It was amazing. I love pecan pie or pecan pie, however, wherever you're from, however you say it. Pumpkin pie. Fruit pie, anybody? Probably my favorite pie of all is blueberry, cherry, you name it. I love pie. All right, but there's one kind of pie that I'm sure all of us have had that you can relate to. Anybody ever have humble pie? Humble pie, yeah. Humble pie is what happens when you lose to your 8-year-old grandson in cornhole in the backyard. Right, that's humble pie, and that's exactly what happened. When we talk about humility, we talk about being humbled. We talk about these kind of, you know, what does that mean? I think about the words of Muhammad Ali. Maybe you've heard this before. He said, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." Willie Nelson sang this Mac Davis song a long time ago, said, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking every day." Humility. Maybe you've known somebody, you know, like that. They just kind of go through life, and maybe it's kind of annoying, actually. It's one of my pet peeves, but, you know, it's like the first word out of their mouth is the word "I." You know, it's kind of all about them. They kind of lack that self-awareness. You might hear the, you know, the sentence that, you know, like, "I'm the best, most humblest person on the planet." It's not humility at all. I don't know if you've heard or not, but about this cannibal lion that's been running around. This cannibal, now this lion is super humble, okay, but he's cannibalistic. Do you know why we know this cannibalistic lion is humble? Because he swallowed his pride. I was not going to tell that, but my son-in-law talked me into it, and I'm really sorry. So a humble pastor is getting ready to resign from his church. All right, he's been there a few years now, and he's just, you know, it's time for him to move on. It's a sad day. It's his last Sunday there at the church, and he's announced his resignation. And this sweet little old lady comes up to him. Her tears are in her eyes, and she's like, "Pastor, you know, so sorry that you're leaving. Things are never, ever going to be the same." The pastor just put his arm around her and said, come here, honey, listen. I am sure that the next pastor is going to be way, way, way better than me." She looked up with him with just tears in her eyes and said, "Yeah, that's what the last 3 pastors have said, and it just keeps getting worse." Humility, humble. What does that mean to us? James Berry, the writer of Peter Pan, said, "Life is one long lesson in humility." Poet Thomas More once wrote, "Humility is that low, sweet root from which all heavenly virtues shoot." Humility. We're in our Core 52 series called One Thing today, and we've been in this book all year long, learned some amazing things about God's Word, from God's Word, 52 great principles. Hopefully you've been tracking with us, watching the videos, reading the books. And today, as we talk about this one thing, humility, I promise you, if we will understand and learn and embrace and live this virtue, this attribute of biblical humility in our lives, it will be a key to your success in life, and it will help you on a daily basis be more and more like Jesus himself. Humility. Well, what is it? What's humility? The dictionary defines it this way. It says humility is a modest opinion or estimate of one's importance. Now you look at yourself. It actually means freedom from pride or arrogance. In the Bible, when the term humility is used, it means to make oneself low. Low, like down on your knees, like low as you can get, of humble position. Now what humility is not, humility is not meekness. Humility is not weakness. It's not the ability to act ashamed when people tell you how good you are. It's not a lack of confidence either. In fact, you can be very confident and very humble at the same time. I like how C.S. Lewis said, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Our author, Mark Moore from Core 52, you'll read that this week, you'll see it in the video. He says, biblical humility is not so much about how you feel about yourself, but how you treat someone else. Humility. Of course, our perfect example, the best example of all, is Jesus, God's one and only Son. And Jesus is our best example of humility because Jesus is our best example of humanity. I mean, he got perfect. So what I'd like to do today is take a look at what God says about Jesus's humility and our model for humility through the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Philippians chapter 2. You'll find it in your New Testament about halfway through. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us up in Building B. Go ahead and open your Bibles now. If you didn't bring one with you today to our service, there are some Bibles underneath the chair in front of you. Go ahead and help your neighbor find it. Philippians chapter 2. While you're doing this, while you're finding this book of Philippians, you need to know, Paul the apostle found himself at the writing of this letter in very humbling circumstances. He's been preaching about Jesus, and now he has been arrested for it. He's on house arrest. And you might think that's unfair. All right, what did he do wrong? But here he is under Roman guard in this humbling circumstance of prison. What I'd like you to see here is that in Philippians, even in these humbling circumstances, Paul gives us and gives the recipients of this letter, the Christians, the Christ followers in the city of Philippi, words of hope and words of joy and words of encouragement. It is a great, great letter to read this week. None better than Philippians chapter 2. Now, Philippians chapter 2, if you flip to the second chapter, you're going to see Paul starting with this epic poem, this poem about the epitome of humility in Jesus Christ himself. Now, Philippians 2, especially these first 11 verses, have become one of the most beloved scriptures in the entire Bible. And right here in these 11 verses, he paints this picture and captures this amazing example for us of perfect humility. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Okay, if y'all have it, we'll read along. Verse 1, he says, therefore, if you, okay, now, I know there's very simple words, if you, but what this means is, look, he's already said some things ahead of here, okay? He says, therefore, if you. What I think Paul is doing here is saying, like, hey, y'all, Joe, you guys here, CCW, look, raise your hand if this is you, okay? If you, if I, okay? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, anybody? Any encouragement from being united in Christ? Yeah, okay, if you have any comfort in his love, anybody? Comfort in Christ's love? Yeah, like if you have comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, like we're here sharing in the Spirit, anybody? Like, yeah, that's me. If any sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, yeah, praise God for that, tenderness, compassion. Well, if you have these things, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Look at these words, like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. I love how Paul just ties this together with, well, what we talked about last week. Chris Freeman, man, he did an amazing job of talking about biblical unity and what that means. And here's the thing. Paul says it, I think, loud and clear. There is no unity without humility. You see the unity. Now he's going to talk about the humility. Look at the next verse. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Like, don't be conceited that it's worthless, okay? It's useless. Don't be selfish. Don't be conceited. Rather, in humility. Look at, circle this, underline this. This is so powerful. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In this very short verse, I love how God gives us both the definition and the application of biblical humility. Paul literally in this word humility here, he invents a brand new word to capture exactly what this means. This word humility means humility of mind. It didn't exist in the Greek language before this passage. And as you look through the rest of the New Testament, you see other writers using it. It was that important. This one thing, humility. Now, our core 52 verse for the week is the next few verses 5 through 7, Philippians 2, 5 through 7. And this is probably the toughest verse we've had to memorize all year long in core 52, and I hope you'll do it this week. Verse 5 says this, have this mind. What mind is he talking about? Help me out, remember? Humility, right. The mind of humility among yourselves, which is yours in who? Yes, Christ Jesus. But this is where it comes from. Verse 5. Who, though he was in the form of God, who's in the form of God? Yes, who is equal to God? Who is God himself? Yes, Jesus. He's in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. This word emptied, and this is just amazing that Jesus would do this. The king of all creation. This word emptied means that he literally gave up all of his rights, laid them down, everything he was entitled to. And if you think about how Jesus came to earth and what he left behind, and he takes on the form of a servant being born in the likeness of men. This is an incredible, incredible truth. Y'all, this is the truth of the incarnation. We talked about this a few weeks ago in chapter 32, that Jesus left the royalty of heaven and he took on flesh, that in Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, he became man. God became man. He came to earth. This, y'all, is, I don't think there's a better passage to kick off the Christmas season than Philippians chapter 2. Y'all, Thanksgiving's in our rearview mirror, okay? And now we get to look ahead to December 25th and the Son of God being born and coming to earth in the flesh and celebrating this idea of the incarnation. What's that mean? It means that it's the season and he's the reason. Jesus. He's the reason for all of this. Jesus, the King of heaven who came to earth. Listen, you know the story of Christmas. He was humbly born in a barn by a poor virgin girl named Mary in a quiet, no-name town called Bethlehem. You talk about humble surroundings. The first people to hear about his birth were lowly shepherds. This is how the King of kings and the Lord of lords, God himself, came to earth. These humble circumstances. What a way to kick off the season. I hope that you will memorize this passage this week and internalize it. In fact, I know you guys need a little stretch, okay? So I'm going to ask you to do something with me, all right? Let's stand together and let's read this verse together, kind of get used to it, all right? This is in the ESV version. And let's see what you got, all right? If we do it right the first time, maybe we won't do it again the second time. All right, we'll see how it goes, all right? Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Ready, set, go. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form in the likeness of men. Good. How y'all think you did? All right, not bad, not bad. Great job. Hey, let's do it one more time, all right? Again, just let the word just, as they come out of your mouth, sink into your mind and your heart, all right? Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Ready? Here we go. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was not with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the men. Good job. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. Have a seat. And take a deep breath. Can you believe for just a moment that Jesus left heaven, the right hand of God, to come to earth, to live, to die, to rise again for you and for me? If that doesn't humble you, I don't know what does. And that's where Paul goes in the very next verse. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God's Son, who lived this perfect, humble life before our eyes, was killed on a cross, the most humiliating death known to man at the time, naked in front of hundreds of people, taking on our sins. And therefore, because Jesus lowered himself, humbled himself, God, the Bible says, exalted him to the highest place and gave Jesus the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge, every tongue confess, every tongue recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Jesus. Humility. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Look, humility is that one thing. It's one thing that God has valued all through history since the very beginning. It's a theme through all the Old Testament. It's a theme in the New Testament. It's one that Jesus modeled. It's one that Jesus taught himself. So we go back in time. We talk about the Old Testament. We see humility in the story of Adam and Eve. We see it through the patriarchs, the kings, the prophets. It's always mattered to God. It's always been one of those things with God that matters a lot, matters most. In fact, that's why in Psalm 25, 9, the writer could say, God guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He guides those of us who are humble. Proverbs 11, Proverbs is filled with wisdom. A lot of words about humility in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. It's a great promise. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is one of the favorite verses of many of us in here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God has brought the nation of Israel to some very humbling circumstances, okay? And he's told them so. He starts out this way. God says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people. Humbling circumstances. If my people, key verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and in humility pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See how humility is like the Wednesday night, we're privileged to have a Thanksgiving Eve service here. And I was able to read this verse out loud as this cross that you see here on the stage, it was on my right here, it's covered in white pieces of paper. The cross sat right here. And to kind of apply this verse to the service that we were having at the time, we just ask people to say, hey, look, if you've come into this room today with a humble heart, that you would release some of these prayers to God. If you would humbly seek his face and pray, write down those prayers and nail them to the cross. Maybe you came in this room today with some anxiety. We had a lot of first responders here and frontline workers on Wednesday night. Say, hey, look, you have had a tough year. Maybe there's something that you just need to leave at the foot of the cross today. Write those things down, nail them to the cross. God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 to turn from your wicked ways. Maybe there was a sin. Maybe there's something in your life that you are ready and done with once and for all and forever. Nail that to the cross and leave it with Jesus tonight. And as you can tell, this cross is covered with prayers and thoughts and thanksgiving. We said if there's something you're thankful for, nail it to the cross. There's a wicked way you want to turn away from. So this is a very special thing that is up here this morning because it represents the humility and the understanding that it is only by the grace of God and his love for us that we can seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And when we do this, he will literally hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal their land. And God says in that same passage, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. See, that's what humility does. It puts us in a position to understand who we are in the presence of God. Micah, the great prophet, chapter 6, verse 8 says, God has shown us, God, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And here's his answer, to act justly and to love mercy and to, help me out, walk humbly with your God. If there's one lesson throughout the whole entire Old Testament, it's this, and we can use this today. He is God, and you are not. He is God, and I am not. And as the Israelites tended to forget this along their journey, we see their story all through the Old Testament. In the New Testament, following life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it was Christ-like humility that personified the early church. We see it all through the book of Acts. We see it in the examples of Paul who wrote Philippians. We see him writing in Ephesians chapter 4 to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And not just the apostle Paul, but James, the brother of Jesus, would write in his book, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, says, when God gives us more grace. Josh talked about this 2 weeks ago in his sermon. It's amazing. Grace, man. Grace is the reason for our humility. Look what he says. God gives us more grace. And that's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. One of my favorite verses, one of the first verses I ever memorized as a Christ follower. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. It's not our job to lift ourselves up. Humble ourselves before the Lord and he'll do his job. First Peter, the apostle, says these words in his book, chapter 5, verse 5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Peter says, take this humility and put it on in the morning, like wear it around. This is who you are, humility. All right, clothe yourselves with it. Put it on towards one another. Why? And he quotes Proverbs 3:34. He goes back to this James thing. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. He opposes the proud, shows favor to the humble. Now, I think God opposes the proud. Maybe you can relate to this. Because the root of our sin, most of the time, the root of our sin is our pride. Our pride, it's what gets us in trouble. And the root of our surrender to the Holy Spirit is humility. And very often in life, we'll find our pride and our humility go into battle against each other. It's common. It's what happens. Andrew Murray, in his book Humility, says, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Four words I try to keep in the front of my mind, and some of you have taught me this and continue to remind me of this. Four words that help me to keep humility over pride, humility over pride, humility over pride in my life on a day-to-day basis are these four words. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not, say that with me. It's not about me. Pride, humility. It's not about me. These are important words to remember, especially during the Christmas season. When people are scurrying for things and you're like, gotta wait in line for groceries and presents and all these kind of things. You're driving in traffic through Spring Hill and you're like, oh, it's not about me. You know, like kind of got all day, right? Kind of thing. Look, it's not about me. And these words define the ministry, define the life, define even the death of Jesus himself. We see it in nearly all of his teaching. One of my favorite examples is in Luke chapter 14. In Luke 14, and again, this is a great passage, Luke 14. Go home and read it this week. You're going to see Jesus talking to the Pharisees, okay, who, by the way, were known for their religious pride. He's talking to the Pharisees in front of his disciples, and he's teaching his disciples a very important lesson about how to treat other people with humility, people of other backgrounds, people who come from different places than they did. He talks to them about the humility of carrying our cross and humbly following him as Savior. He teaches them to go last and wait to call up. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. It says, While eating at a Pharisee's house, Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. So he's like at this great Thanksgiving dinner, all right, this wedding feast, all right, and he's seeing how people are coming in, taking their honorable places, like some of y'all show up really early for worship service and you get your place of honor where you got plenty of leg room and you're like, hey, look, no one's in here but me, okay? That's what's going on here at this feast. So Jesus notices and he decides to tell them a parable. In verse 8, here it is. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. Now, this is really hard to believe that someone more distinguished than you exists, okay? But imagine this for a second, all right? You've walked into this wedding feast and you sit at the most distinguished place, all right? Careful. Verse 9, if so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, excuse me, give this person your seat. Give this person your seat, and then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. So just imagine, you're there, you're early, you're sitting there, you're all set, man, you are right in the eyesight of the most important people, all right? And then you're asked by the host, I'm sorry, sir, you have to get up. Someone more important than you is here. And you have to get up from your seat and walk down. It's like, oh, great, I would have sat there. I would have sat there. I would have sat. All the other seats are taken, and you end up at the back of the table in the least important place to sit. Pretty humiliating, embarrassing. Verse 10, Jesus says, instead, when you're invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. I see you down there. Come on up here. And then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. The point of his story, verse 11, Jesus drives it home. All of those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Go last and get called up. He repeats this three different times in the gospel. This is important to Jesus. This is like one thing he wants to nail down. In fact, one of those is in Matthew 23, verses 10 through 12. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And man, think about that. John chapter 13, he takes on the role of a servant. Jesus literally gets down low. He takes on the role of a servant, and he washes the feet of his disciples. You remember this story? Like their nasty, smelly feet. There's Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, on his knees doing the job of a servant. We learned about this back in chapter 30 of Core 52, servant leadership. So not only do we go last and get called up, but Jesus teaches us to get low and lift each other, lift others up. Mark chapter 10, verse 44 through 45, the words of Jesus, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Go last and get called up. Go low to lift others up and humbly serve others like Jesus. He said it. He modeled it. That's why one of our core values here at CCW is selfless service. Selfless service. We know this one thing is so important. I love what Mark Moore says again in the book. He says it on the video this week. If service is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. If service is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. I think of just a glaring example of this here in our church is Chris Freeman. Now, Chris isn't here this week, or he'd probably tell me to be quiet, okay, not to say these things out loud, but Chris, if you're watching, too bad, all right? Look, last week, Chris talked about unity. He talked about service. He brought up the acronym that we use around here called SHAPE. He talked about how our spiritual gifts, hearts, abilities, personalities, experiences, all can be used for the kingdom of God. He called a lot of us out for the way that we serve God around here. And I want to tell you this morning, if you did not know this, but Chris Freeman is a volunteer here at CCW. He puts his time and his energy and his heart into preparing sermons and gets on this stage once a month on his own time. He's got a full-time job. He's got a wife and kids and family, grandkids. He's all, but he loves you and he loves Jesus enough to put to humbly serve him by giving us these messages each week. And I just love him for that. Humbly serving and somehow still finds time to roast 800 and something hot dogs at the Halloween roast. Always looking for a place to serve. And I just personally, man, I thank God for people like Chris, for Chris himself, for being that example, for being the example of that one thing, humility. Because we understand, you understand, we are called by God to walk humbly before him. So yeah, this week, right now, today, during the holidays, get low, and lift others up. Simple principle. Hard to do? I don't know. Maybe this week is the week that we reach out to someone who's in special need. Maybe it's someone who you see on the street, maybe a homeless person, and this is the time to get low and lift that person up. Maybe it's the neighbor who lost their job, and the holidays are really, really going to be tough. Maybe it's the widow lady who's lost her husband and man, is dreading the holidays. Or maybe for the parent who's lost their child, and this will be their first Christmas without their son or their daughter. It's real. Get low. Lift them up. Put blinders on to the world around us. Get low might mean serving kids. Right here at CCW, as a matter of fact. You know, I don't know of a better way. In fact, to serve kids, you literally, like the right Bob, you literally have to get down on your hands and knees like to their level and teach them to love them, to serve them. So I want to tell you right now, I mean, go back to see Shelly at the preschool area and base camp and say, hey, look, how can I help with the kids? And go to see Brody in Expedition. How can I help with the elementary kids? Volunteer, become a servant. See Eli, the middle school, the high school. Our family ministry exists to serve and to let the love of Jesus be known to kids. I want to encourage you to do what maybe some of you did during Thanksgiving meal on Thursday. Leave the adult table and go play with the kids. Get low and lift up. Jesus also teaches us to go last and to get called up. For this might mean this week is saying, you know what, I see all the car. I mean, there's one parking place in the front, but I'm going to park back here because somebody might need that space worse than me. Maybe it's getting at the end of the line and letting somebody else go because you see, man, the kids are crying and there's just all kinds of things. Look, why don't you go ahead of me? Get last. Go last and be called up. I know here at CCW, our leaders, man, we kind of, again, I hope, you know, the red flags just kind of go off when someone walks in the door and their first word is about me. You know, look at what I've done. And they kind of present this ministry resume of all the places they've taught and all the things they've done and the way they've served the kingdom. And it's like, me, 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 check this out. I'm here. Their gifts are blazing. It's like, hey, whoo, I'm here. You're, you know, look, just slow down, relax, okay? Go serve somewhere and wait to get called up. I'm so appreciative of our elders. Y'all might see them on stage like we did a couple, you know, last week, and ordaining Mike Cup. And what you don't realize is that these men started serving, just serving in places like the preschool and the cafe. They became small group leaders, ministering to people's needs. You'll find them in hospital rooms. You'll find them around people's tables, talking to them about Jesus, humbly serving. And yeah, God does call those men every now and then to be leaders, to be elders. I'm so thankful for our red shirts, our service team, who week in and week out, you know, if somebody gets sick in the lobby, they're cleaning that mess up. A toilet gets stopped up in the bathroom, they get the call on their walkie-talkie. That's humble service. Nobody knows. They don't even wear name badges. They're just here to serve, and I'm so grateful for y'all. Dean, man, it's amazing. I think about, you know, in the sound booth, the band being up here. I mean, people that just kind of, you know, you think, oh, they're up front. That's not about them. It's about Jesus. Go last and get called up. And humility. Humility will lead us to do what Jesus says to do in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, to love God and to serve others. The greatest commandment of all, this is where humility begins. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. He is God and I am not. Worship him. Come under, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. And then with love your neighbor as yourself. And I love how Jesus doesn't say, don't love yourself. Love yourself, but love others first. Love others, but love God first. We do this at home. Y'all, you're going to leave this place in just a few minutes and you're going to launch into the holiday season with Christmas lights on your house and trees in your living rooms and smiles on your face, right? Christmas is here. Ding, ding, ding. You guys are so excited, right? Christmas. Look, go home and start serving your family. Serving your family. Go low, get last, love God, humbly serve. Kids, I know if you're like me, if you're a teenager or an elementary kid, look, I know when Christmas was all about me when I was a kid. It's like, hey, here's my list, Mom. This is what I want, right? Some of y'all adult kids are like this too, all right? You're all ready. You know what you want. I want to challenge you to switch those words from I want, to how can I help? How can I help? Switch from what can I get to what can I give? What can I do? How can I share? It will revolutionize your home, especially during Christmas. I think about work. As we go to work, you know, even during the holidays, the work is unto the Lord. Humbly do your best and let God lift you up. Sometimes you're going to do a thankless task that nobody pats you on the back for. Do it anyway. Allow God to exalt you. Your resume will never hurt, never take a hit by doing these things. In your community, your neighborhood, your neighbors around you, this Christmas, find a way to humbly serve the people around you. Serve a meal. Maybe in your own home. Maybe find a soup kitchen or somewhere you can use your gifts. Use your talent. Just look, go low, lift other people up. Maybe right now today, you can go out in the lobby and buy us some toys for some foster kids. Make their fill their Christmas floor with presents they wouldn't get any other way. As Josh mentioned earlier, you can write a Christmas card. You can take them on your way out the door today. Write a note in there, a word of encouragement, a prayer to some stranger you've never met before on Christmas Eve. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this project pans out. And as you write these notes, write these prayers and these encouragements, again, slip something fun in there like a gift card or some money. Really make a surprise out of it. And here at CCW, I'm so proud of you and the church that God has here. I love you. This is a great place to live and to work and to be a part of because it's not about you. It's not about us. It's clear. It's about Jesus here. It doesn't take you very long to look around and see humility. You give your tithes, your offerings, you're generous because you know the work that God is doing in this place, in our community, and around the world. That's why Mike Cupp and Linwood are able to get on an airplane today and fly 24 hours to Kenya because you raised $30,000. $30,000 to dig a well in Kenya for people. You talk about humbling circumstances. They don't have clean water. None. They're dying because of this. We're able to help dig a well there and share Jesus with those very people, the living water of Christ. From pickleball, basketball, cornhole, homeschoolers on Thursday, well over 100 of them, all led by volunteers. The Thanksgiving service, all led by volunteers, people who give their time, their energy, and humbly serve. It's amazing. And what you might not know about Wednesday night as we did the worship service was that right up in Building B, Marvin, Mimi, Harris, and their team were giving away dozens of free food boxes to our community, pre-cooked, so they could go home and have Thanksgiving dinner when they wouldn't have had it any other way. You might not have heard about that. That's humble service. Look, there's no better time than right now, heading into Christmas, to practice this one thing. Your friends, your family, they will appreciate it. God will honor it. And if people don't recognize it, man, look, that's their problem. But it is a gift that we can give to others, this one thing. Y'all, God calls us, and the world needs us to be Philippians 2 people. People who do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing. People who value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. People, you and I, who have the mind of Jesus, the mind of humility among ourselves in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. We can empty ourselves, give, serve, humble ourselves. Take on the form of a servant, just like Jesus. There's some next steps on the screen. There's some in your bulletin inserts. You can kind of take, you know, just kind of own some of these things today. I hope that you will read chapter 47 in that book and core 52 and do those challenges, and you'll be blessed because of it. As we get ready to leave today, I want to do something pretty special. I'm going to ask the band to come, and I want to introduce you to two people that kind of fought with me on this, but this is their last Sunday here at CCW. We don't normally, you know, do this kind of thing, but Russ and Marianne Miller are dear friends of mine and have been humble servants here at CCW for over 17 years, as far as I know, since I've been here. Russ and Marianne, when I think about humility, I can't help but see their faces. You might not know that they are missionaries. They've served in places like Africa and Belgium and France and still do so today. They travel around the country. Marianne showed me an article that she wrote today in a national publication. You would never know because they just serve God and keep doing what he's called them to be and called them to do. And today's their last Sunday with us here at CCW. They're moving to Claremont to a retirement village. So Russ, Marianne, would you just come on up here? I know it's going to sting a little bit, but come on up. This is Russ and Marianne Miller. They have served on our prayer team. They have led small groups. They have been in your hospital rooms, around your table. They've invited you over their homes. Just humble servants of the Lord, and I'm just grateful for y'all, and I love you. We're going to miss you so much. They're only moving an hour away, okay? So you can still visit them. They'll be around here and there, but God certainly has some great plans for them where they're going next. So let's go ahead and stand together, and let's have a word of prayer. And we'll sing, and we'll close our service out as well. And would you pray for Russ and Marianne with me too? Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so humbled. Humbled that you love us and your mercy is all around us. We're humbled because you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. You love us that much. We're humbled to be able to gather in this place today. I'm humbled, God, to be able to speak your word. I have nothing without you. Nothing. So God, right now, we just thank you for who you are and what you've done. You are God, and we are not. And God, right now, as we celebrate and as we say goodbye to Russ and Marianne, God, we're going to miss them so much around here, but I'm so thankful for the way they have humbly served you through the years, and especially here at CCW, and I know that you will continue to use them in a mighty way for your kingdom, because they are humble. They are. They've humbled themselves in your sight, and you have lifted them up. You've sent them places that I can only dream of going, the people that many of us will never know and ever see. But God, because of them, because of you, they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Your gospel's been preached. People are reading the Bible and literature that's been translated into other languages because of their work for you, and I thank you for that. So God, please bless them, go with them, help them know the love of Jesus and the love of this church, no matter where they are, and especially as they move to Claremont and begin a new ministry there. And God, right now, together with Russ, with Marianne, with the body of Christ here at CCW, we just give you praise. The song we're about to sing, God, it says we're on our knees, we are humbled, we can't get any love, we are humbled before you, God. And though we might not physically be on our knees, God, our hearts are yours. 100%, we surrender to you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus, your son, your spirit that's in us, that calls us to live this one thing, humble lives, because of what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Love you. Thank you.